to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for today is God's Word and the Gospel reading from Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read again verses 24 to 25. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." If you remember last Sunday, we heard about how this rich young man came running up to Jesus and asked him what he should do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus did not speak harshly to the rich man. It says he looked at him and he loved him. And in Jesus' love for him, Jesus sought to show him the self-deception that this man was living under. If you remember at the beginning of the worship service, in the confession, we hear this: "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Well, this rich man was filled with self-deception. He thought he could keep the law of God perfectly. He thought he had kept all the commandments ever since my youth, he said. So Jesus said to him, "You lack one thing. Sell all your goods, give the money to the poor, and come follow me." The thing he lacked was love. Love for God and love for his neighbor. And the man went away sorrowful, it says, because he had great possessions. Well, this Sunday, we hear the aftermath. We hear the discussions between Jesus and his disciples. It's kind of like the post-game show, or maybe the post-debate commentary if you watch the debates. Only there's a lot more at stake here. And this Jesus, he keeps looking around. He looked at the rich man. He looked around at his disciples. And if you catch it, he said, yet one more time, he looked at them. Now, does Jesus looking at you, or the pastor looking at you, I guess, make you feel comfortable or uncomfortable? If you feel comfortable, you might ask yourself why. And if you feel uncomfortable, you might ask yourself why. And then this Jesus keeps saying things that might make you uncomfortable. He certainly says something that makes the rich young man uncomfortable, telling him to go sell all his things. Sacrifice is something that's uncomfortable. Well, if you've been here the past few Sundays, I don't know about you, but all this talk about plucking out your eye to avoid temptation, or unquenchable fires and the worm that doesn't give up, and all this talk about divorce and adultery and the hardness of our heart, it can make you kind of uncomfortable. All this talk about temptation and sin and guilt and God's judgment and his punishment, that is uncomfortable. I guess it's supposed to be. So now this Jesus looks around and he sees his disciples. And he says to them, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." Now the disciples were amazed at this saying, because the Jews of that day thought that wealth was a sign of God's favor. So they thought that people who were rich had the best chance of inheriting the kingdom of heaven. Because think of all the good things that they could afford to do. Well, Jesus sees their amazement. And then he doubles down on it. He says to them, "Children, children." He uses this term not as a put-down, not in a condescending way, children, but as a term of affection, as a term of endearment, children. After all, the central core of all this teaching that we've heard that makes us uncomfortable is this: "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Children. That's the last thing that Jesus says before this rich ruler comes up to him. And that brings us to the verse that we were talking about earlier. Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom. Now, this is astonishing. Astonishing to the disciples. The camel, as you probably know, was the largest animal that these people were familiar with. An eye of a needle was the smallest hole that you could imagine. And Jesus is saying that a camel has a better chance of going through the eye of a needle than a rich person of entering the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because the rich person is relying on his possessions, on his status, or on his own good works, as this rich young ruler had been. That's the self-deception. Now, if you're not the poorest of the poor, maybe this saying makes you uncomfortable. Camel going through the eye of the needle has a better chance than I do of inheriting the kingdom of God. Does that make you uncomfortable? Does it make you uncomfortable if I say that you live in the wealthiest country in the history of humanity? Does it make you uncomfortable that maybe what you spend on a cup of coffee is more than many people live on for a week around the world? I guess we saw some of them earlier in the video. So maybe this last verse makes you even more uncomfortable. "Many who are first will be last, and the last first." Does it make you uncomfortable that maybe you will end up last in the final round? But this passage is not just about economics and finance. You misunderstand it if you think it's just about social equity or redistributionism or communism or socialism or get-evenism or any other ism that you want to say. That's not what this is. This is about where you place your trust. Do you place your trust in your possessions? Do you place your trust in yourself and your own obedience to God's law? Yes, the disciples were astonished. They were exceedingly amazed as you can be. But it's not because they considered themselves rich and were worried. Jesus is saying that even the rich, who for all appearances were the best most qualified people to inherit the kingdom of heaven couldn't do it on their own. It's not possible. That part they understood. But Jesus says, it's not possible with man, but all things are possible with God. Rich or not. So how do you get into the kingdom of God? It's not by trusting in yourself or trusting in your possessions or trusting in your own good works. Where do you place your trust? The only place that you can place your trust is in God's grace, God's mercy through Jesus Christ. That's what makes it possible. And God's grace and mercy are centered in Jesus Himself. That's the eye of the needle. Jesus Himself. With Jesus, all things are possible. So now Peter reacts. And he reacts. I love Peter. He reacts in the way you or I might react. He says, he begins to say, as Mark points out, look what I've done. Wait. I've left everything behind, Jesus. I've left everything to follow you. You see, Jesus' point is don't rely on your own merits. And the first thing we do is think, look, I'm not relying on my own merits. Look. Look at what I'm doing. But Jesus doesn't rebuke him for it. Just as he didn't really rebuke the rich man, he has mercy on Peter. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, John chapter 10, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. You are the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, or liars, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, goes through the eye of the needle, through Jesus, he shall be saved. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that's what Jesus does. That's how he makes it possible. Not any way that you or I would have thought of. He makes it possible through his own sacrifice. So he gets on his traveling shoes. He gets on the road to Jerusalem, the road to the cross, for you and for me, because we can't do it by ourselves. And that's not quite all. Because you see, in his grace, he adds even one more promise for you. That if you bear injury or loss for his sake, for the sake of the gospel, you receive treasure in heaven, real riches that last forever. And even mixed among those houses and mothers and brothers and sisters and cousins, mixed among those blessings is persecution. Because even suffering for his sake is a blessing that you don't think is possible. But it is. And he guarantees it to you. Guaranteed riches. How? by your baptism, where he places his name on you and the name of God the Father, who adopts you as a child. So when he says children, children who enter the kingdom of heaven because they receive it from him, not because they do it, children, you are that adoptive child. You receive that forgiveness. You receive that promise of riches for all the persecution you endure. God grants this to us because of Jesus, who is the eye of the needle for us. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We rise for the prayer.